Welcome, BBS, to another Wynn and Terry show this Monday night, February 4th. And we are welcoming the callers calling in on the telephone. And we are waiting for Wynn and Terry. So I hope you all are keeping warm out there, those of you who have gotten snow. And I'm Prudence in Asheville, North Carolina, filling in for Hives.
How's the weather back there, Prudence?
We have really nice weather. It's pushing 70 in the next couple of days. I'm not sure what next week holds. Last week we were 30s and 20s. This week, 50s, 60s, and pushing 70 on Thursday.
Oh, my.
So, strange weather, but we'll take advantage of it while it's here, you know?
Well, at 8:30, we were 24 degrees here at Seattle.
Yeah, right below freezing for you guys, right?
Quite a
just
bit
enough
below
to make
freezing.
It snowy.
Yeah, well, and it was snowing hard. Well, it snowed most of the day yesterday, and then probably all night long.
Oh, boy, you're getting more than
really,
a foot then.
Really covered.
Wow. Do you have somebody to plow for you or shovel?
No, heck no. I couldn't even find my snow shovel. I went out there with a broom and.
You have to hire somebody. You can't do it yourself.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what
I lived in Buffalo for quite some time, and you need a plow. Somebody's got them.
I went looking for my snow shovel, and I think it's out in my shed, which is the absolute wrong place for it to be. It needs to be in the garage.
Yeah, you got to shovel your shed out to get to the shovel.
That's right. Not a good plan.
Oh, my. Jeannie, how's the weather down by you?
It's rainy, and then it's sunny, and then it's rainy, and then it's sunny. It's like a cloudburst, and then the sun comes out, and it just keeps going back and forth like that.
Oh, okay.
It's about 50 or so degrees.
50. That's low for you, isn't it?
No, about right.
About right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Prudy. Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Cecil and Jeannie.
Yeah, here.
And all our friends on BBS. Welcome, BBS, if you're just joining us this Monday, February 4th, for the Wynn and Terry show. Don, do you have any snow up in the helicopter? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the 50s.
Okay. That good weather's coming up your way.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Things are going to go away for a while, but looked not too bad. Not going to complain.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't complain for 50.
Yeah.
My daughter's in Minnesota.
Not this time of year, anyway.
My daughter's in Minnesota, and they're down in their teens most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had a rough winter.
Is she in the Minneapolis area?
Down in Rochester. She works there for the Mayo Clinic.
I don't know where that is. I hear a lot of good things about Minnesota, about Minneapolis, though.
Yeah, well, they're about 2 hours hard drive from there, the south.
Good evening, and welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Valerie from Livermore.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Valerie.
Valerie and Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Dave.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
And if you're just joining us on BBS, welcome to the Wynn and Terry show on Monday night, February 4th. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Good. And how's the weather by you guys?
I was just thinking about that. It's freezing cold, like it's in Boise, Idaho or something like that. We're in Bay Area, like 30 miles east of San Francisco. Pleasanton, Livermore area. Livermore Cowboys.
Livermore Cowboys.
Yeah, it's freezing. It's been, we had some wind the other night, probably 30-mile-an-hour winds with that cold and the rain. And
Yeah,
it just seemed like that damn vortex was like creeping in. So.
Yeah, you were like on the western edge of it, right?
Well, I think it may affect us. Who knows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the next caller. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, guys. It's Bonnie in California.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hey.
Hey, Bonnie.
Sound like we had one more, too.
Yeah, I think we had another caller. Would you like to say your name and city? But only if you want to. Welcome. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, positive greetings, Prudence, from Sedona.
Raiden. Hi, Raiden.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm a little tired, but I'm all right.
Yeah, good. Good for a Monday.
Happy Chinese New Year and Happy New Moon.
Oh, yes, yes. It did pop up on my calendar.
Happy New Year.
You're the pig, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're the pig.
That's your, you're the pig.
Welcome to the Monday Night Show. Would you like to say your name and location? And the next caller, would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Prudy. Hi.
And again, we welcome our BBS listeners who are on the other end of this Monday night, February 4th.
I wouldn't mind listening to the part of the channeling, end of the channeling from yesterday's call. If I can figure it out.
On Whole Planet Healing or on Sunday?
Yeah, another early call. We're listening to it again.
The earlier call.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, I'm sure that's loaded up. We had another caller join us. Hello, welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hello, Janine.
Janine, you're blasting.
Hello.
Loud and clear.
Loud and clear, yeah.
Loud and clear and then some.
Come on, how's your weather, Janine? Janine, how's your weather?
Earbuds out of my ears.
My hearing aid. How's the weather in Salt Lake City?
It's cold, but it's not raining or anything.
Cold? How cold is it cold?
Oh, I don't know. I think my phone said 43.
Okay. At least you're not below freezing. You're not getting snow.
No, not yet. I think there's supposed to be some kind of storm this week.
Okay. We're checking up on the polar vortex and where everybody's calling in from, how their weather is.
Yeah.
It's had some odd weather.
I don't know. I'm cold at 65, so 70. I'm always cold.
Me too. Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Positive greeting. Hello.
Sound like a raider galloping in on his horse there.
Hey, Raiden, are you one of the people that eat at the coffee pot?
No, I'm a pretty pristine food eater. I don't kind of GMO it or regular food people. So.
We had another caller join us. Hello, and welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hello, it's Debbie from Costa Mesa.
Debbie Dolphin. Welcome.
Hi, pretty.
Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Hi. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
And welcome to the next caller. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to. Thank you for joining us. You and our BBS callers joining us this Monday night, February 4th.
How many listeners is way in the house now? Do you guys know? All over the world.
You were kind of mumbled. Could you repeat that?
How many listeners does Way in the House? Do you know?
I can't really say because there's BBS and they're all over the place.
How many stations does he cover stations or is this on internet? Yeah, it's just on internet.
It's internet, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
No.
But only if you want to.
I win.
God, what difference? Everybody knows who I am anyway.
All you gotta say one word and we know who you are.
Well, imagine how it would be if you were famous. Oh my God.
You're infamous, Wynn.
That's just what I was thinking. And, well, I have got a replay scheduled. And at the end of it, this is one that I just listened to, checked it out, and it has kind of an amazing session. Maybe I should start the recording. All right.
I'll mute the dings.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is February 4th, 2019, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. I'd have Terry say hello. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
How did you do that? Oh, my God, that's a miracle.
Okay. She beat you here.
What's that?
She beat you here.
Yeah.
She beat me here. But by the time I call on her, she's usually muted. And then what'd you do, stay unmuted from the time you checked in?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just have to be quiet.
Well, Elise has found her phone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a revolution.
you know, it is, Terry is just so amazing. We were having a conversation today about how she, you know, like the most simplest thing. She says, oh no, I have to get in my body again.
I know. I mean, I sit at the restaurant and the lights go out.
Here we all are trying to get out of our bodies and Terry
I'm trying to get
in.
Back in.
Get in. Right. Oh well. Here's you know, there's like about a 9-minute channeling session at the end of this, okay? And it's long. It's about an hour long. So I'm going to start it a few minutes in, and then I'm going to cut off where the channeling starts, if I can time this right. And I'll play the channeling on Whole Planet Healing. It's actually a really, really good channeling for Whole Planet Healing. And let's see here. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you guys again, store some food, okay? And
yeah.
Beware of anything. And don't get into a FEMA bus. Better to starve than go get into a FEMA bus or a FEMA barge. Don't do it, all right?
Or a FEMA UFO.
Pardon me?
Right.
Or a FEMA,
or a
FEMA
UFO.
Ship.
Or a FEMA UFO, or don't even trust it if you see Jesus coming down from the clouds, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, check and see. I'll check with our sources and see if we can trust it. But they keep saying Jesus is not going to return in a body. And, you know, they have their agendas to get you to walk into vortexes, to get, go into underground safety zones, to go into rescue centers when there's disasters and then you disappear. So don't trust any of it, you know? There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes.
What a responsibility.
I'm always giggling and laughing.
Good thing we're on radio, because otherwise she'd be telling you, you gotta brush your hair and get your tie straight. But you have people talking to you and all kinds of questions about how they interact with us and understanding the challenge of being a human trapped in time. And I've got a lot of answers. And for those that read my material, you can read those answers and they're quite fascinating. And they help give some credibility that what we're doing is real and that they are real and they are able to communicate through certain individuals. And the other thing that is very important is to look at what they say and how they say it so that you know they're positive and that it's possible to have a connection with them, but if you're going to have a connection with some invisible energy that you can't see, before you have that question, before you have that contact or that connection, you've got to know they're positive, because otherwise it's just a phenomena, and there are voices that talk through people that are not positive. And in my books, it goes through quite a bit of explaining what's positive and negative. And the same rules hold true for sources that are outside this dimension as sources that are inside this dimension. So they honor free will. They don't need what to do. They don't tell others what to do. They are able to blend with us. What is blending? Well, there's this idea that everything is one. And I've come to integrate that and see from my own little small human perspective how that works. It's kind of like most of us may have had an experience of oneness in our life one way or another, like where we looked at a group of children and felt this surge of love, and something in you connected with the children. And I would say that you were able to connect with the energy of the children and feel the love and blend with them for a moment. Have you ever looked from the top of a mountain down at a city or a sunset or a forest and felt this exhilaration that you were connected? And I would say that you were connected and that part of you blended with the energy of everything you were looking down on. So those are little kinds of experiences that we can relate to at a human level. of what it means to experience oneness. So now we imagine these huge group soul energies in another dimension that can look down on us. Maybe look down on our entire planet because they're so huge. And they can perceive the oneness of everything on the planet, even though we feel so separated so often, many of us.
Muted.
We feel separated and isolated, and yet they're looking at us and they see oneness. So the idea is there's a place where what's commonly called the collective consciousness of humans. And we don't see the collective consciousness because we're creating the collective consciousness. And everyone who's in a body has a part of themselves in another dimension that is contributing to this energy of the collective. And the collective at the very top levels is very high. And at the very bottom levels, it's probably separated. And so it's like each person is voting all the time. They're voting and their consciousness is the way their vote is cast. And so when a bunch of people are creating fear, that moves into the collective. When a bunch of people are creating love, that moves into the collective. And so as humans, we have the challenge of how do we lift above what you could call the lower base aspects of ourselves and reach into the highest aspect of the collective. Because by doing that, we're not only creating a vote for ourselves, we're creating a vote for all of humanity. And when enough people reach high enough and hold that energy, then the paradigm starts to change for other people. So my particular goal in the work I'm doing is A, create an opportunity for people who would want to reach like this to succeed and be able to transform their life at the mundane level and start to experience life from the collective, a higher level of the collective. And actually, what I have learned is that a human consciousness is virtually unlimited in its ability to expand. And it can expand even beyond the collective. Our energies can expand into the cosmos. Why do you think astrology works? Astrology is a bunch of energies that are connected with planets that impact humans. And I personally, at one time in my life, studied astrology. I had a friend who was an astrologer, and at the time, I was very linear, and I didn't believe it could work. And through her, I started to learn all of the signs of all the people that were in our life. And the amazing thing that happened would be, occasionally, I would meet somebody new, and I'd feel a connection with someone who I'd already met, and I'd say, "You an Aquarius? Are you a Gemini?" And I started to get a surprising number of correct guesses on their signs, far beyond
what would be statistically possible. And I said, geez, this really works. And I couldn't figure out how it could work because I said, how can a bunch of planets, you know, millions of miles away, be affecting a human, affecting me, affecting that guy? And I knew it worked, but I couldn't figure out how. Now I think I vaguely or, you know, approximately get the intuitive feel that a human energy is not limited to this plane, nor is a planet's energy limited to the physical location of that planet. Space is just part of the illusion of being in this realm. But in truth, in the highest truth, there's no space or time. And that there's a melding and blending of all kinds of energies that are the precursor to being and having a human experience. And so each of us has the potential to expand far, far greater than we would even, in our remotest dreams or wildest dreams, believe possible. Now, most of us are so contracted into our human experience that we have never even considered this as a possibility. And most of us, all of us, to some extent, have limiting belief patterns that because we believe something is true, we have to live within the reality of our belief pattern. And some of our belief patterns are very conscious and in our mind. They're based on our schooling. They're based on watching TV. And other patterns are very subconscious. They're patterns that have been ingrained into our system, and we don't even realize they're there. So part of the challenge for a human who would choose to wish to expand is to start to learn what their belief patterns are, both conscious and unconscious, and start to put them into neutral. And they're not easy to get over. That's why sometimes people get attracted to this work, and maybe it takes a year or two before it really, really connects and their life is suddenly different. The fact that we're communicating with these very high group souls, and even when you make a connection vibrationally with them, which during the course of this call, I hope we will be able to do. In fact, Terry, I don't know if Terry's on the line. If you're on the line, Terry, just say hello so I know you're there. Terry is a person who has been in my life for many years and ended up being able to channel the voice of this energy. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, good. Hi. Good. Super duper.
Hi.
So in the course of this call, we're going to bring the energy in and maybe ask a few questions. But just to give the full picture, I know that, and I've watched this, people sometimes come into this work, and it's fairly awesome that we're communicating to them, and it's fairly unusual to communicate with them in such a public way and allow everyone to share in these communications. And it's something both Terry and I had to develop the confidence in over quite a period of time, because once you allow a consciousness to work with you and speak through you, there's the concern that wow, what if they say something wrong? What if they mislead people? Once we say it, we can't take it back. And so both of us were very, very cautious and apprehensive about doing this in a public way. So we built it up gradually, and thus far, it's been, I don't see any times, I can't put my finger on any times, where I had any doubt that it was positive. And with the process of channeling, that's the word used for bringing through these voices from other dimensions, there are many channels that don't actually bring through the voice of good soul energies, because there are many, 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 many energies and beings and entities in other realms, and by far, most of them, or many of them, are individual souls like you and me who are discarnate, and maybe they're wiser than us. Maybe they have a more higher vantage point, but it's still a singular consciousness that's communicating through somebody. When you have a group soul consciousness, and the way they explain it is, when we ask a question, there's a whole team formulating an answer. And keep in mind, they're outside of time, so they can come up with an answer very quick, and then they feed the answer to the person through the channel. So this is like a, how do you know that's true? I've always been my worst skeptic and critic, and that's probably one of the reasons that I can present this in a public way, because I actually don't want you to believe it's true. I just want you to be neutral and evaluate it over time. In particular, read the stories. Read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Read Questions and Answers with the Elohim. Sign up for messageaday.net and study it over a period of time and see if it makes sense to you. Because one of the aspects of these group soul energies is they're very wise and they're very caring, and they really, I've come to the conclusion in observing them over a long period of time, that their desire to contribute to us is very real. There's no agenda. They don't want you to believe. They don't want you to follow. They want to contribute. And there's two ways they can contribute. One way is via their wisdom, because both group souls, and the names that I use are the Elohim group and the Ra group, both group souls have had a long time either being in bodies or watching bodies and watching the challenges of being in a body. And so they have wisdom to impart that you can apply to your own life and help change or lift some of the belief patterns that have been contracting you, and some of the past life patterns that are subconscious, or present life patterns that are subconscious. And the other thing that they can do is they can connect with you vibrationally. And they'll only do that if you're open to it, if you'll ask. And this is where you have to study them a bit to decide if you trust them. Now, some people come on this line and they're already open. They've already made vibrational connection in their own life. Maybe they were an advanced soul. Maybe they are a new soul that's come in here to help uplift people. But for whatever reason, they don't have to go through all this evaluation process to say, do I trust this? But most people do have to go through that, because they don't, and they should go through it. They should go through it because they have to be able to trust what they're letting into their system, especially knowing that it's possible to let a negative thing into your system, a negative source that could have actually damaging effects on your own growth and your own consciousness. So it's a new kind of a game. One, if you recall earlier, I said the entire universe is one. It's one energy subdivided in timelines and physicalities. And so the highest truth, and one of the group souls calls this the law of one. The highest truth is to live with inside the reality that everything is one. And so when you encompass that as a human, you will walk around and see everyone as part of yourself. Even though you have a separate body, separate bank account, separate lovers, it's all one, and every moment is a reconstruction of the entire universe into your personal hologram. And usually when that happens for someone, other people look at them for guidance, for inspiration, and perhaps they become elevated as a teacher of some sort because they can help other people have that experience. And when we can actually make an ongoing experience with these group souls, and we can hold the energy of that, then you might call that God realization, or you're operating down here with a far degree, higher degree of awareness and perception and ability to manifest, because manifestation in this realm, you know, Jesus talked about the sweat of the brow or grace. And this is exactly, to my understanding, what he meant. Because sweat of the brow means you work so many hours, you make so much money, and it's like there's an exchange, you give something and you get something. And grace means things manifest freely, and they come with no strings attached. And when there's grace, in one of the channelings we did, because we did a lot of questions and answers about that, the Elohim group soul, which is way, way at the top, can meet us through all these matrices. And they can blend with us, and we can blend with them. And so now, when we ask for something to happen, instead of just our small human conscious asking for it, we have all the spark plugs of them attached to us. Now, of course, they have a criteria, and the criteria is they don't violate free will, which means if there's some really bad guy down here that's operating and fairly self-serving, they have to allow that person to go through that experience. So they don't violate free will. So if you ask for something and it's going to cause even what might be a negative being to be violated, they won't do that. And they also operate for the highest good of all concerned. And what that means is that when we ask for something, we don't know as humans all the implications of what it would mean if what we asked for came about. For example, maybe somebody is sick so that they can work through a karmic pattern. And by taking the disease away from them, they would miss the opportunity to clear that karmic pattern. And we can't see that, but they can. So when somebody asks for healing and nothing happens, that may be the cause. I remember reading sometimes people get sick so that someone else can take care of them, and they actually are giving the person a blessing who takes care of them and an opportunity to evolve themselves through the service they're doing through taking care of that person who's sick. In fact, there's a person in my life right now who is very proud, and he's going through stuff. And usually he won't accept anything from anyone. And maybe for the first time, he's being open to accept and receive something because he's feeling a little helpless. And I'm in the position to give it in a unconditional way with no strings attached. And so it's a blessing for me because I really, really like this guy and it's really hard to connect with him. So that's an example of maybe on the higher realm, something is occurring so that I can have that opportunity to give and he can have that opportunity to receive. And that maybe when we both do that, it'll clear the path for a healing in him so that the karma doesn't need to be stuck there. Now, it may not be my karma with him. It may be his karma with himself of not being able to receive and my karma with myself not having the opportunity to give unconditionally. Because I know when I give unconditionally, not out of a sense of duty, but unconditionally, there's a reward that comes inside of me that just is really joyful. And that's a good indicator when that occurs because you're not really giving to someone else. You're giving to yourself and you can experience it. And it's not like out of a sense of duty. Sometimes people get the idea of charity, and not that charity is bad, charity is good, but oftentimes there's a sense of duty involved with it. Sometimes there's a sense of public recognition, like people will think I'm really good if I give lots of money to this charity. But the real most truthful giving is giving which comes with no strings attached, no obligation attached, and it brings joy as you do it. And that's how you can tell if you're doing it, because it'll bring joy. If it's not bringing joy, it may not be giving out of grace. It may be giving from some other lower level. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in their energies. And if you're listening for the first time and you feel comfortable with this idea, you might shut your eyes and just go along with my little meditation. And then I'll turn it over to Terry. And what I believe is the same energy that you will feel is the same energy that will produce words through Terry. And then we'll have a chat with them. And so let's just close our eyes and imagine that our bodies are connected to, I use the word hologram or matrix, our energy. And that unlike our physical bodies where you have to pick yourself up and move your legs to get from one place to another, our energies respond to our intentions. So let's for a moment imagine that everyone on this line, everyone hearing my voice, everyone who listens to this on the replay line, because the energies will be there, even if they're not here, because there's no time in the realms we're going to, that we can combine our energies. We can touch each other's energies. Your separate energy can touch my energy, and it can touch those people who are listening just by our intention. If we intend it, it can be. And we can now, some of you will feel a shift. Some people feel goosebumps. Some people feel a tingling through their body. Some people see light. Even though your eyes are shut, there's a kind of light around your forehead and your temple. And there's an energy leaving the top of your head. And that's where the energy leaves start this higher level of combination or integration. And when we do this, I believe this is the same process that Jesus called communion. Although we're not doing this with any religiousness attached to it, we're actually doing it in real time. It's a real time exercise with no belief system. So when our energies are all combined, we become visible. This is how they've described it to me, and it took me a while of checking this out to say, I think this is true, I think this is the way it works. We become visible because our energies combined create some kind of indicator on the other side of the collective consciousness of humanity. If you're still within the contraction of the collective, you may have trouble doing this. So if you can let go for a moment, let go of everything, and now our energies are penetrating through what we call the veil. And the veil is where we are kind of locked within this realm and we can't perceive or see through it. And we still can't see through it. But if you apply our intuitions, you may be able to feel this. And so we have these two group souls that can now see. And of course, see is a human word because I don't know see is their word. They can see this creation of energy that we're doing and they can join with it. It's like we're creating an antenna of consciousness. And they join their energies with ours because we have the same intent that they have, and that is to uplift this realm and to bring these energies into this realm and lift spirit, the spirits of people in this realm. If enough people could do this, our entire planet would shift. It's kind of like if you go into a room where a bunch of people are doing this, a spiritual gathering or even a religious institution or a Sufi dance, you can feel the vibration there. And it's infectious. You don't even have to understand it. It becomes infectious. Some people have tuned into these calls and when they hang up, they're suddenly change the energies around them and the relationships with the families change. Suddenly there's a new energy present. They don't have to understand it. They feel the energy. So now we're taking this energy that we're creating and joining with these groups. And we can, through our intention, send it places. And we do this every Sunday morning on our grid healing. And if you're feeling the energy, please join the grid healing Sunday morning. And the way to find out how to get the phone number is all you have to do is send an email to sunday@messageaday.net and you'll get an email back that gives the phone number and the time. But this is what we do for an hour and a half every Sunday morning, bringing these energies together and sending them around the planet for healing and transformation. But right now, let's just take these energies and bring them back and tap into them and bring them into our own bodies and do a little healing on ourselves. Feel the energy as it moves back. And now you're tapped into a huge source and coming through back through the top of your head, through your chest, through your whole acupuncture meridian system and releasing the blocks and the traumas and the hurts and the pains and even the diseases that are held in your system. And we can ask silently for the help of these group soul energies to work with us and release those things. Help us release. You know, they don't do it by themselves. It's a co-creation. They're reaching down and we're reaching up. And that gives them the energetic access to become one with you and you become one with them. And as I understand it, it is that oneness, the feeling of oneness that gives the permission for the co-creation where they can help heal you as part of themselves and you can draw on them as a greater part of yourself. And I'll take a moment of silence and please ask where you need help in any area of your life in your own silence. Okay. So I think that's one of the most important things we do. There's two things we do that I do and I see that I'm doing it. I am creating enough reality so that your conscious mind, in your discerning conscious mind, your skeptical conscious mind, particularly if you study my materials, might say, this is a new way of looking at things. And then we're making a connection where when you're open, you can experience it. And you can feel the energy of it. And now, I'm going to turn it over to Terry, and they can address us. And I believe it's been very consistent that this voice that's speaking to us is the same voice that is attached to the energy that you're experiencing. Are you there, Terry?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, they already started. We'll start again. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. The energy as we extend into your realm and throughout the space of the listening audience, making connection to those that desire it in the audience. We are making connections at this time. We are mindful and experienced in the connection with the individuals on this line.
Okay, we're going to play that whole session on Whole Planet Healing.
Unmuted.
Jeez, I was in good shape on that one. It was kind of, that was in 2009, and I think Terry was just getting her wings to be able to channel really well. And can you guys hear me?
Yes.
You hear me well?
Everybody was so quiet.
We can hear you.
We got into the zone and we're still there.
Still listening.
Now we're just listening to the silence. The energy is still there.
Move the phone over there.
What's that?
Valerie said she couldn't hear it, and I said I'll move the phone over here. Sorry.
Is that Dave?
Yeah, this is Dave, yeah. Hey, Wynn.
Hey. Okay, BBS is listening. We're still here. 7:54. We got one more minute.
Did we lose Wynn?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
You know what? I don't want to go into, you know, it's interesting. When we go out of the exchange of energy that we do with each other and move into this space, we don't have to break it. In other words, we've gone beyond you're out there and I'm over here. We've made a connection. And we'll see if we can continue with this connection on Whole Planet Healing. Although there will be people that come into Whole Planet Healing that were not on this call. So we'll just have to go with the flow. Terry, are you there? Oh, wait. She might be muted. Okay. We're going to go to Whole Planet Healing. And thank you all for being there and holding the space. And we'll see you in a moment.
Thank you from Seattle.
Your conference recording has stopped. Goodbye.